Work can wait. It's time to talk sports with Jeff Blair.
Let it be Christmas everywhere.
So there I was sitting in the editorial hub, as we call it this morning, thinking about what we needed to say after the Toronto Maple Leafs hit the Christmas break with 20 wins. The earliest, by the way, they've reached that figure since 2003, 2004. You'll have to excuse me. I'm not used to country music off the top of the show. And I thought we'd come up with a naughty and nice list for the Leafs. You know, which Leaf we'd get the biggest present for? Probably Mike Santorelli. The one for me, and which Leafs player gets the smallest present or the lump of coal? Jake Gardner, Randy Carlisle. But you know what? I decided we should extend it to the Toronto sports scene in general. I mean, let's face it. The Raptors became, well, they became the most fun sports story in this city in 2014. There, I've said it. Maybe the biggest. And the Blue Jays have done a bunch of off-season business that has got the attention of the fan base, if not exactly doing away with some of the lingering wariness created by the team's poor performance 2 years ago after yet another busy offseason. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Well, let's put together a little Christmas lift for the Toronto sports scene. You know the numbers, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Who gets the biggest gift of them all as far as the Leafs, Raptors, or Blue Jays go? Who gets the smallest? And if you're driving to the mall, be safe and stay calm in the parking lot. And if you're at work, well, somebody's got to do it, right? And if you are going to listen to the show, welcome. For the next 3 hours, we'll try to smooth the move to Christmas Day before we hand you off to Hockey Central, Tim and Sid, and Primetime Sports for their special Christmas edition.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
It was Christmas Eve, babe. Drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you.
So the Maple Leafs ended their three-game skid with a 4-0 win over the Dallas Stars. And, you know, you can always tell how much the team needed the win when Randy Carlisle doesn't have an issue with underselling a bit the fact that his goalie, in this case Jonathan Bernier, had to make 43 saves. The Leafs, for losing three in a row, were a team in desperate need of a win. We're joined now by Mark Osborne, co-host of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Mr. Osborne, good morning.
Good morning, and is this your rendition or your creative side of Christmas that you decided to start the show off with, or what?
Yeah, pretty much. We put our heads together. We put our heads together. That song, by the way, every year in England, you know, they put together. It's a big deal trying to put together a list of songs and. You know, whichever song is the number one song at Christmas becomes a big deal. And it's usually something from one of those, you know, TV shows like X Factor or something like that. And but there's always this kind of this sort of counter move. You know, somebody pulls a song out someplace and says, no, let's get this song voted number one. And it really doesn't matter whether or not it's got anything to do with Christmas. They just try to get voted number one. Anyhow, so and that was one of the songs, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues that was the song that a lot of people were kind of pushing for number one. So that explains that. But it does have to do with Christmas, even if it's Christmas in the drunk tank.
Nice.
Yeah, it still has to do with Christmas. It's a nice sort of homey, you know, celebration of the season.
Yeah, whenever I think of Christmas, I think of Simon Cowell too. So.
The question is, do you think of Randy Carlisle? Look, honestly, Mark, for, you know, the win last night, Jonathan Bernier was spectacular. There were a lot of things we saw in that game that, you know, in previous Leafs wins, we've had the coach pulling his hair out over, you know, yeah, we won, but man, we can't play that way and expect to win. But I really thought, and maybe Mark more than anything else, it kind of indicates we're getting to that point in the schedule. We're getting to that time in the season where people really do start looking at wins and losses. I just thought, given the fact that they lost three in a row, given the fact they still got a lot of games left on the road, that was, the Leafs needed that win. It didn't matter whether it was 1-0, 7-1, 7-6. They needed that win, didn't they?
Absolutely, and you could tell by Randy Carlisle's post-game comments, there was some relief, there was some humor, there wasn't his typical, I don't know, cautious response to the team's performance, and again, perhaps relying on your goaltender far too often to bail a team out defensively that continues to try to find its gamer consistency, which I think he's been trying to do that ever since he took over from Ron Wilson a number of years ago, and yet what we've been able to see and get used to, I think, for this Maple Leaf Hockey Club is the ability to score, which they continue to do so four more last night. But I looked at last night's game, and yes, Dallas had been on a four-game winning streak. They had won three in a row going out west to the Canadian teams of Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. But it was a kind of game that I think really fit in well to the way that the Leafs play. Dallas, as you know, is a good transitional team, and they can be exciting with, obviously, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, and now you got Spezza and Hemsky there. They like to play that trading chances transitional type of game, but yet they're so porous defensively and not very good away from the puck, and I think that was part of the recipe for success for the Maple Leafs is when you're not doing very well without the puck, like we saw 55 seconds into the game where, you know, Nazem Kadri, give him credit, he eluded or just went to the right spot, you know, the opening shift of the game, and the Leafs get that early lead, and that is a vote of confidence, and you feel good about yourself as that three-game losing streak. I think you start to forget, you remember what it's like when you play with a lead or remember what you do best, and that's what the Maple Leafs like to do is score goals.
In conversation with Mark Osborne on the Jeff Blair Show, that Kadri JVR Santorelli line was really effective. I honestly, you know what, I can't say enough about, I'm almost getting sick talking about the guy, but I can't say enough about the type of contribution Santorelli's made to this team. I really can't.
Yeah, he has been a real nice addition, a pleasant surprise, a bang for your buck, all of those types of things. And I remember when, I think it was about a week ago, I ran into a friend, Rick Dudley, who's the assistant GM of the Montreal Canadiens, and we had chatted a little bit about not only his team, but the Maple Leafs as well. And Rick talked about how much there are things that he likes about the Maple Leafs, obviously the offensive and the skill set, but Mike Santorelli in particular, and he just said, man, they got a real good player for great value. And he goes, I really liked his game last year in Vancouver. And, you know, due to injury, his season was shortened. But you're seeing the consistency of Mike Santorelli, his offensive upside, his willingness even as an undersized player, I think, to do some of the little things or even compete for loose pucks. I mean, when I go up and down the Leaf roster, I mean, a point of concern for me, Jeff, is as much as they do score goals and have got some skill set now and a little more balanced scoring on three or even four of your lines, too often the top four wingers on this hockey club, I don't think, want to play or do the necessary things away from the puck or even compete for the puck, which is still concerning for me. And I know off the top you mentioned as we move to the heart of this road trip coming up after Christmas, it's really going to be a tall tale sign of what this team is really made of. So, you know, stay tuned. I still kind of teeter on the fence as to what to make of this team. I still think they'll be in the playoffs, but how much or how much damage they can do postseason, I'm really not sure at this point.
Well, I mean, let's take a look at where this team is right now. They're 3 points up on Washington. Washington has the second wild card spot, the least of the first wild card spot. They're four up in Boston. They're three back of Montreal in the Atlantic Division. Their differential's plus 16, which is third best in the conference. Pittsburgh and Tampa are ahead of them, and it's fifth best in the league. You know, Mark, this is a team that I looked at the start of the year, and I honestly, I didn't have them going to the playoffs. I thought they'd be on the cusp. I thought they'd be close. I didn't think they could make it. I'm looking at this, and I'm going, I'm with you. I don't know what this team is yet, which is a problem considering the fact it's December 24th. But whatever they are, I think they're farther ahead of where I thought they'd be this year. I don't know if that makes sense. I can't describe this team to people. I used to think it had an identity. I think that identity's kind of, I mean, it's kind of slipped away in the past week and a half or so. But I just look at them and I think they're, at the end of the day, they're better than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, you know what? And sometimes for me, Jeff, what it really does come down to, the more and more I think about it or talk to people and listen to maybe some of their unfair criticism at times, that it really comes down to all of our expectations on this team. I think we're hoping for better, and we want better, and we understand that there's a craving for consistency, and I think to become a team that understands really what it takes to win and how to win down the stretch, you know, when push comes to shove. The consistency or the common thread that we've seen from teams that know how to win and how to lock down, and you know, if there's a loose puck there, there's a good chance that we're going to come up with it or play along the wall. I mean, those are some of the grittier defensive parts of the game that is hard to do, and it doesn't come down to skill at all. It's just a matter of will, and I think that's where sometimes our criticism of this team in particular gets to that stage. And yeah, I would agree. We're not quite there yet. We're still trying to find those pieces per se that will consistently, I think, take some of the guys that aren't accustomed to doing that or wanting to do that and say, come over to our side, boys. This mm-hmm. is the way we're going to do it. And I think with the acquisition or how you added pieces like a Stefan Robida, you know, a Roman Polak, a Daniel Winnick, a Mike Santarelli, like those types of guys. And I mentioned this to Darren Millard yesterday. I think we could see some leadership improvement on your back end, mm-hmm. and that's a positive thing, trying to help some of those younger players and, again, getting that collective group to play a little bit grittier without the puck. But then you look at the forwards and say, okay, Komarov, yes, Daniel Winnick, yes, Santarelli, yes. And then after that, what about those other guys? Do you guys want to come and do this? I know we're great on the transition, and you guys are good when you move down towards the other end of the ice when you have puck control, but what about getting it? And we at times spend far too much time trying to get the puck in our own end and become stationary or whatever that is, and I think that's where it really comes down to. It's not a matter of skill, it's a matter of will, and we continue to be patient with these guys finally, that maybe this will kick in one day for this group.
You know, Mark, you mentioned the back end, the defense corps, and Jake Gardner's status has been kind of a talking point for much of the year, but you know, I look at Dion Phaneuf, and I think by and large, and we've had this discussion. I know that, and you're one of the people in the media. You've been very clear. You have some issues with how Dion plays, and you've been clear about that for a couple of years since you've been doing this. You've had some issues with some aspects of his game, but I think in a lot of ways, I think Stefan Robida has really, I don't know if he's made Dion a little more comfortable in his skin. I just get the sense that Dion is, he's playing some of his most consistent hockey since he's been with the Leafs. And even in some of the bad games this year, he's actually played pretty well.
Well, absolutely, and I would say that further to the point last night, and I think Dion and a guy like Stefan Robida, and I don't know so much about Roman Polak to any degree, but I know Stefan is he's maybe not as outspokenly verbal media-wise, and yet he gives you good interviews, and he's mm-hmm. willing to do so. But it's some of the little things inside the dressing room. It's the stuff that you hear from the younger guys, in which you know, he's constantly encouraging them in their game. They're watching him. I think the way that he applies himself off the ice, or his approach to the game. So for Dion, I think that's taken a little bit of the pressure off of him, because if you've looked at this D even last year when they had a Paul Ranger or a Carl Gunnarsson, like, those guys are not your leaders, and certainly Jake and Morgan aren't your leaders, and Cody Franson has been trying to find, you know, his spot or get a longer-term contract, so he was never going to be the guy. So it's always fallen on Dion's shoulders to lead this team, whether he's a verbal guy or not. I don't know if Dion is really that comfortable in being that verbal, or even sometimes showing the leadership qualities. But what I did see in private example last night when Antoine Roussel challenged him, I know that Dion didn't really want to deal with that at all. And yet he responded in a most positive way. He rushed with the puck. He ended up engaging again with a nice hit on Jason Spezza. He shot the puck. He jumped up into the rush a few times. And so some of those little things that I think we were wondering, would that ever come back to Dion's game? There were some positive indications. And yes, statistically, and a guy who plays against teams' top lines or whatever, again, it may not be the Dion that I crave for, and yet I would certainly tip my hat off that there are some elements to his leadership in that have been challenged, and I think he's addressed them in a positive way.
Mark, listen, it was good of you to join us today. Have a great Christmas to you and yours, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Yeah, I echo the same sentiments right back to you, Jeff. Take care. Thanks.
Take care. That is Mark Osborne. He is co-host of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Of course, you can also see him frequently on Hockey Central at noon. And again, the Maple Leafs, 4-0 winners over the Dallas Stars last night. Jonathan Bernier backstopping them, 43 saves, a terrific game. James Van Riemsdyk, Phil Kessel, Nazem Kadri leading the way offensively. Dion Phaneuf having a really good game. They still gave up 43 shots. But again, if you listen to some of the comments from Randy Carlyle after the game, you didn't get that. I mean, there was concern, obviously. You don't want to give up 43 shots. But more than anything else, I think there was happiness with getting that win. And the Leafs have still got a long slog ahead of them on the road. But they'll at least enjoy this break over Christmas. You know, they'll at least have that 4-0 win. And even though Dallas is far from the best team in the league, that was a Dallas team that won 4 in a row. They were coming off 3 wins on their Western Canadian trip. They did have Tyler Seguin. I thought the Leafs did a terrific job shutting him down. I know he had that one shot that hit the post, but I thought they did a terrific job of shutting him down. And again, Randy Carlyle. Certainly seemed happy with the end result of that game. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Join the conversation on social media. As always, use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is @SNJeffBlair. So I wanted to, you know, it is Christmas Eve day, and I wanted to sort of try to keep it as much as we could in some sort of Christmas spirit. And I thought, you know what, we'll just do the Leafs naughty and nice list. You know, who gets the biggest gift, who gets the smallest gift, who gets the proverbial lump of coal. Then, you know, the more I thought about it, I thought, what the hell, let's expand it to the Toronto sports scene in general. And I think we can all agree that this pretty significant year in the Toronto sports scene. I mean, the Toronto Raptors made the playoffs. They gave us all a great ride. The ride is still going on. And, you know, the Jays have done some things in the offseason that I think it's got people's attention again. There's still a certain amount of wariness. Hell, I admit I'm still wary some of the things that the Jays have done just because of how it all worked out or didn't work out a couple of years ago. So I wanted to expand it then. We can focus on the Leafs, but I wanted to include the Toronto sports scene in general. Who gets the biggest gift? Who gets the smallest gift or the lump of coal? As anticipated, plenty of people weighing in on Twitter.
Sean McFarlane. The biggest gift is for Raptors player and management. Mama Bear gift for Jays and Leafs. Cole should go to TFC players and management. Hull City Dave. Hull City Dave says TFC would get, quote, a lump of coal, but I think they already drafted him. That's actually not bad. Raptors' entire organization gets the biggest present. Chris Dobie, big gift to Defoe for giving diehard TFC fans a glimmer of hope. Oops. Cole for Rasmus, just cuz. So there you go. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. No, you got a ton of stuff you're doing today. You're going to the mall. You're doing the last-minute shopping. Maybe you're working still. You're going to cut out around noon or something like that. Feel free to give us a call. Get involved with us on Twitter. We'll, as I said, we'll kind of smooth the move towards Christmas Day and all that that brings. Rocky and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So who gets the biggest gift? Who gets the smallest gift as far as you're concerned?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you this morning?
I'm doing real well. Best of the season to you and yours, my friend.
Thank you. I'm going to say this. I think the biggest gift should go to Masai Ujiri. The reason is because he turned this franchise around in a big way, first and foremost. Like, he got rid of Bargnani, first of all. Then he got a Rudy Gates contract, got back a few pieces. He got a draft pick. And on top of that, he re-signed Kyle Lowry and made this team into a playoff contender. For my the least gift is probably Jake Gardner, not living up to his expectations thus far. Got a reasonable amount of contract, but he should be playing up to his contract, but however he's not. So those are the biggest two guys you could think of.
who in the Leafs gets the biggest gift?
I would have to say Cody Franzen. He's having a career year, probably the best defenseman thus far for the Leafs, probably because he's in his contract year, mm-hmm. and the way he's putting up his points, he's on pace to have his probably the most points he will ever have in one season. So I would say Cody Franzen. So I would have to say Merry Christmas to you, and I hope you enjoy your holidays.
I will, Rocky. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us. 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590. So there you go. We're starting to compile our naughty and nice list. How totally unsurprised I was that the first person to get a big gift was Masai Ujiri. As I said, given what the Raptors have accomplished in this year, in this market, it's pretty remarkable. I don't buy that they will ever supplant the Leafs. The Leafs are always going to be the big dogs in this market. They really are. And, you know, you can sit and whine and complain about it, but a fact's a fact. For a variety of reasons, they're always going to be the big dog in this market. But I'll tell you what, the Raptors, they got a lot of people's attention. They got a lot of people who are, I would call them accidental sports fans. And I mean that in a polite way. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. You know, the people who will kind of get involved with the next big thing. People who, we call them bandwagon jumpers. I guess if you want to term them that. They're the people who go to 4 or 5 sports events a year. You know, spend their own money to go and do it. They're event-driven people. And there are still people like that in Toronto. And the Raptors are the event. And it's a combination of, I think, pretty good marketing. It's a combination of having a real good team. But I'll tell you what it's also word of mouth. Like, I can tell you just, you know, my daughter's group of friends, they talk about the Raptors. And they're not all huge sports fans. They talk about the Raptors. They're aware of the Raptors. They know if the Raptors have won or lost. And you know, I really wonder, I'll be fascinated 5, 6, 7 years down the road to see what has happened with this Raptors fan base. Because it's a different time now than it was when Vince Carter was running the show. Social media plays a much more prominent role in kids' lives and teenagers' lives. This level of success coming in the age of Twitter and Instagram, I will be fascinated to see what comes from this down the road. So we're going to have our discussion We're going to keep it in general terms. We can talk about the Leafs. We can focus on who gets, you know, the naughty and nice list, who gets a big gift, who gets a small gift in the Leafs. But let's also expand it to the Toronto sports scene. Mark in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So who do you give the biggest gift to? Who gets the littlest gift?
You know what, guys? The biggest gift right now for me is going to go to Santarelli, or as I like to call him, Sant'Angelo. He is the guy. He's all heart. His compete level is 100% every night. And dare I say, Shade to Gilmore, I really, really appreciate how hard that guy works every night.
Yeah.
As far as a naughty list, I'm sorry, I got to go with Kessel.
Okay.
For several reasons. One, he's a $64 million player. He doesn't even have a letter on his chest. He's grossly out of shape. He never gets goals in the tough games. And, I mean, that's just to name a few. And sometimes, you know, when they pan over to him on the bench and you see him sitting there hopping and puffing, and then I look around the league at guys like Kane, Taves, Tavares. These guys, if Phil Kessel wants to get paid $64 million, you know, I got an idea. Maybe take $1 million of that $64 and go pay a personal trainer and become a superstar in the league. Because I'll tell you, and I don't think anyone would disagree, he skates and shoots the puck better than a guy like Doug Gilmore ever did.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't teach heart. And that's the biggest problem with Phil Kessel. It's just, it's kind of, it looks to me like it's ho-hum.
You know,
that's why naughty and nice.
I appreciate the call, Mark. You know, it's interesting you said that because there was a camera shot of him last night, and it was the same thing. He'd gone back to the bench on a line change, and he had that Phil Kessel thing where the gloves are kind of resting on the boards, and he's hunched over, and you know, you could tell that he's sucking wind. And I asked somebody about that at a Leafs game earlier this year. Somebody who, you know, works for the team, somebody who's around the team, somebody who's an executive, and I ran into the person. I asked him, we were just talking about players, and I asked him about Kessel because I'd happened to notice that. And the response I got was that if Phil Kessel isn't out of shape, Phil Kessel works really hard. And basically, Phil Kessel expends on every shift. If you watch how much he actually moves in the ice, how much he actually skates, he expends a lot of energy. That's the type of guy he is. He's got a lot of natural talent, obviously. You're right, the shot, the speed, but he also expends a lot of energy on every shift. And you know, I'm going to throw that out there because I understand, and I think you heard this with Mark Osborne, people should expect more of Phil Kessel. I don't get, and you know, if you've listened to the show enough, you know that I don't get carried away necessarily with how much money a guy makes because, you know, Phil Kessel might be a $64 million player. Well, the reason he's a $64 million player is because somebody decided to give him that money. So I don't begrudge guys the amount of money they make. Just because you make $64 million and a guy on your line makes $24 or $34 million doesn't mean you're $30 million better than him. It just means somebody's decided to pay you that much more money over a longer term. I don't get carried away with that when it comes to Phil Kessel. But again, even Mark Osborne pointed out, you know, and Mark Osborne watches a game. Mark Osborne is a damn good player. And he's a guy who had to change his game throughout his career as he got older and to adapt to situations. And when you hear a guy like that say, you know, yeah, kind of expect a little more from the wingers, from my top four wingers, that gets my attention right away. So I kind of agree with you in a way, Mark, although I don't get wrapped up in the whether or not Phil Kessel's in shape thing because I have seen, you know, I always use Tim Wallach as an example when I covered the Montreal Expos. Tim Wallach looked like, I mean, you had to hold a mirror under his nose to figure out whether or not the guy was breathing. You know, he looked like he'd have his hat tilted backwards. You'd look at him and you go, God, he's got kind of that sleepy-eyed thing. He doesn't look like he gives a rat's ass. And then you watch him through a game and you go, God, this guy plays hard. I mean, he plays hard. He just doesn't look like he's playing hard, right? And then you talk to his teammates. You talk to guys on other teams about what a hard guy he is and how he plays. So I always caution fans when you're trying to draw some sort of conclusion about a guy's personality or a guy's desire just by body language. There are some guys that, you know, that just, it just doesn't work. You know what we haven't heard from today?
The Leafs played last night, so you know what that means.
The Christmas Dangle version.
Hey, I got a question. Wow. How early is too early to start drinking on Christmas Eve? Because I don't think it's technically a holiday. It's just a little brother of Christmas. But it's still awesome, isn't it? Anyway, how about that Leafs? That was so dominating that the Leafs won the Tyler Seguin trade. I'm not even talking about the one that allowed them to get Phil Kessel. I'm talking about the one between the Stars and the Bruins.
Well, they did.
That's how dominating that performance is. This holiday season, I am so thankful for Jonathan Bernier. I'm going to get Bernier whatever he wants this Christmas. I'll get him cologne if you want.
Cologne?
Or a Starbucks card and encyclopedia. It doesn't matter. If he wants to keep performing like
what
that.
What about a Nelson Mandela biography?
To get a contract extension with the Toronto Maple Leafs. How about that? But I'll give you one thing that I'm super thankful for with the Toronto Maple Leafs this holiday season.
Let me guess.
The number 20. No, I'm not talking about David Booth, although I like him. He's a delightful young scamp. 20
scamp.
Wins before Christmas. Can't ask for more than that.
No, you can't. That, and we talked about that earlier in the show. And Merry Christmas, Dangle. Thanks for signing off with a cheery holiday tone. But we talked about that earlier. And I didn't even know that. Actually, it was Kevin McGran in the Star pointed out that this is the earliest they'd reach 20 wins by Christmas since 2003-2004. Again, look where they are in the standings. Look at the goal differential. I know goal differential, is you could spin it anyway, and, you know, 1-7-0 win and your goal differential is great. Of course, 1-9-2 loss, and it's the exact opposite happens. But, man, I would defy anybody to tell me that at Christmas, they thought the Leafs would be within 3 points of the top of the Atlantic Division. I defy anybody to say that they expected that. There's a lot of issues with this team, but as we sit here on December 24th, I think we have to say that this team has far exceeded our expectations. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We're putting together our naughty and nice list for the Toronto sports scene. We're going to focus on the Leafs, but we've broadened it as well. Just taking a look at Twitter right now, there's like 100 people who have just taken shots at TFC. And Tim Lewicki. Tim Lewicki getting a lot of non-love as well. Richard Buechel. A bloody piece of coal for the bloody big disappointment that was TFC. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Use the hashtag Blair Show. Get involved in the conversation on social media. Toronto Sports, the naughty and nice list. We'll take your calls when the Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, we are back. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. There's a hashtag Blair Show to get involved in the discussion on Twitter. Going to be joined by John Paul Morosi in the 10 o'clock hour. Howard Beck, national NBA reporter for Bleacher Report. We'll talk a little NBA. The Raptors returned action Saturday afternoon, by the way, visiting the Clippers in L.A. We'll have the game on Sportsnet Ontario at 3:30. Matt Devlin, Leo Routens, and Eric Smith will have the call of the game again. That is Saturday afternoon at 3:30. The NBA's got their usual slate of marquee matchups for Christmas Day. You've got Wizards and Knicks at 12 p.m. I don't know about that being a marquee matchup. Wizards are good. Thunder and Spurs at 2:30. Heat and Cavaliers at 5. That'll be a lot of fun. Lakers, Bulls at 8 p.m. And then Warriors and Clippers at 10:30 p.m. So there you go. Christmas Day belongs to the NBA. Continue our discussion on the Toronto sports scene at Christmas and who we'd give our biggest gift to, who we'd give a lump of coal to, who's on our naughty list, who's on the nice list. So far, we've got Kessel on the naughty list. We've had a bunch of people on Twitter putting TFC on the naughty list. And Masai Ujiri seems to be the guy who can't do any wrong right now. Masai Ujiri could run for mayor of the city. Jeff in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Give me your nice list and your naughty list in the Toronto
holidays,
sports scene.
Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah.
You
to
too. You too.
On my, your last caller, I think is a genius. I would also give it to Santarelli, Winnick. And on the naughty list or the lump of coal, I would give it to Dave Nonis for the fact that he hasn't signed those two and he can get them between $1 and $2 million. He'll wait to the end of the season. And after the season they're having, it'll be 3 or 4. And he also, hasn't, tried to get rid of his three bad contracts of Clarkson, Phaneuf, and Kessel. I'll listen to your comments.
All right. I appreciate the call, Jeff. Well, you're not going to get rid of those three contracts. And I would argue that Phaneuf and Kessel, well, I certainly argue that Kessel's not a bad contract. I mean, Kessel's being paid to be the best player on the team. And as I said, I agree with you in that any general manager would. There isn't a general manager out there who wouldn't rather be paying less for his top players than he's paying. And I made the point about David Clarkson. That's a horribly overvalued contract, but it is what it is. I don't hold that against David Clarkson. David Clarkson, I think, is, I mean, this is what he is as a player. The one thing about David Clarkson is I think he get maximum effort every night. And I know that's probably not, it's not going to make people happy when they look at his salary. But again, that is not entirely on David Clarkson. That is on Dave Nonis. But I'm sorry, I have a hard time looking at Dion Phaneuf and saying he's overpaid. He's no more overpaid than a lot of other defensemen in the NHL. And same thing with Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel's an elite forward. I mean, we poke holes in Phil Kessel's game. Phil Kessel's going to be there at the end of the year. Phil Kessel's going to be amongst the scoring leaders at the end of the year. Phil Kessel's still the most dynamic player this team has. He is. I think if you asked most people around the league and you said, who's the best player in the Leafs, they would go Phil Kessel. So I respectfully disagree with Kessel and Phaneuf. And Clarkson is just, I mean, it's just, it's a moot point. There's no point in complaining about it. And I don't think, you know, I don't think he can do anything. I agree with you in blaming Dave Nonis. I know you weren't blaming David Clarkson for signing the contract. But I'll say this about Nonis, too. I mean, let's give Nonis credit for the fact that he did bring in Santarelli. He did bring in Winnick. He did bring in Stefan Robida. You know, he was there when Morgan Rielly broke into the lineup. So I think you have to give him a little bit of credit. And he did acquire Jonathan Bernier for nothing. I think by and large, you know, there's some of us who would say that his biggest mistake was probably Randy Carlyle. But again, I look at where this team is in the standings at 20-12-3, 3 points out of the lead in the Atlantic Division, 4 points up on the team that's the Boston Bruins that are trying to get into the wild card spot. I'm sorry. This is better than what I expected from the Leafs. I know there are flaws in how this team plays. I know there's, their style, I know that the stats tell me a lot of the stuff they're doing isn't sustainable, but, you know, again, you're talking to somebody who thought this team was going to finish 9th, 10th, maybe 8th. So they have surpassed my expectations so far. Fred in Lakefield, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Give me your naughty and nice list in the Toronto sports scene from 2014.
I was going to say Reimer,
Okay, tell me why.
My mind. But I was going to say Reimer. It could be any fourth liner. He smiles. He's happy. He does his job. He doesn't complain. He keeps peace and harmony in the dressing room. But I've changed it to Phil Kessel.
Okay.
And I'm so annoyed by all these guys who played Junior A, Junior B, Junior C, Juvenile All-Star, and figure they're one break away from having been an NHL fourth liner. There was a stat the other day that if Kessel finishes in the top 10 this year, he'll be the first Leaf in 20 years to finish in the top 10 4 years in a row. The first Leaf in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody says the fourth liner, well, he's making $1 million, which is more than we're all making. He's a hard worker, but he can't score because they all relate to him. Then you got somebody like Kessel, who any team would love to have,
mm-hmm.
who's always there at the end of the year, as you said. He does his job. He scores goals, and he gets a lot of assists. So what more do you want from him?
Yeah, and it's not just the city. I mean, a lot of sports fans really put a lot, and I'm not going to say sports fans. I'm going to say people in the media as well. He really put a lot of stock in how a guy looks when he goes about his job. And that's dangerous, you know? You can't tell necessarily how hard a guy is working or what level a guy is playing just by looking at him. There are people who aren't very talented who have to work their ass off to achieve the level of talent and achieve the level of contribution that some guy who's just kind of out there and we think is going through the motions. I mean, you can't sit there and look at a guy and say, my God, he's back to the bench. Look at that. He's sucking wind. I mean, oh my God, he's out of shape. Well, maybe he isn't out of shape. Maybe it just requires more effort for him to do what he does. And again, I keep telling people about Phil Kessel, and Fred, I think we're on the same page here.
Well, do you
watch the guy during a game and watch how much he skates.
I know. Do you remember Frank Mahovlich?
Yes.
Back when he played, people said he didn't skate fast. They said he was lazy because when he skated up the ice, he didn't look like he was hustling. But the fact of the matter is the guy was such a good skater, three strokes, and he's just flying down the ice, but he doesn't look it. And with Kessel, say what you want. When he's got the puck, when he shoots it, when he sets somebody else up, when he holds it for that extra half second, how many players are there like that?
I agree. You know, and Chad Morrison actually on Twitter asked the question, will Phil Kessel get more love in Toronto if he was Canadian? I appreciate the call, Fred. I wonder about that. And I also still think there's a thing in this city that you get identified as a quote unquote Brian Burke guy. I still think that there's something at work in the city when it comes to that. It's interesting. DZ on Twitter, growing up in Montreal, I recall the rhetoric out of Toronto about this lazy player they had to get rid of and eventually did. And he was talking about Frank Mahovlich as well. Sherry Rosen says the biggest gift goes to Knicks owner James Dolan for turning down the Kyle Lowry trade. God bless James Dolan. So there you go. James Dolan, big gift for turning down the Kyle Lowry trade for not wanting to make the deal. This guy's a second-time father, John Morosi. Just recently had their second child. Still a lot of players out on the market as we hit Christmas, of course, highlighted, headlined by Max Scherzer and James Shields. Jason Grilly is a reliever who signed a two-year deal with the Atlanta Braves last night. You might remember that name. Jason Grilly talked about an awful lot as a possible candidate for the Blue Jays bullpen, for the back of the Blue Jays bullpen. Folks, I don't know. There's not a lot of relievers left in the market right now. I'm hoping that when Alex Anthopoulos tells us that he was prepared to make a trade to get a reliever, I hope he gets at it soon, because I gotta admit I'm getting pretty close to pushing the panic button when it comes to relief pitchers. John Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for Fox Sports, and we're going to shift our focus to baseball in the 10 o'clock hour. John Paul Morosi will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues for a Christmas Eve day on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.